I'm a little bit Miyagi-Do.
And I'm a little bit Cobra Kai.
Doing chores to learn karate makes me whole.
And I confront the enemy without mercy for his soul. Strike first, strike hard.
No mercy. Welcome to Flashbacks Presents
Cobra Kai.
Should we do it again or just start from wherever?
Go ahead with that. I think that's as good as we're going to get.
I'm Jay Hoffman.
And I'm Larry Smith.
And we'll be your co-senseis through the rich world of All Valley Karate in Reseda, California. Welcome to the inaugural episode of Flashbacks Presents Cobra Kai. Our first two episodes will be us giving a quick rundown on season 1 and 2 of the Netflix hit show. Once we catch everyone up on where we are in the Karate Kid world, we'll break down every episode, starting with the first episode of season 3.
We're doing this because Cobra Kai is the most badass show, and it deserves two badass dudes to cover it in the most badass way possible. A podcast. But for real, we love the Karate Kid lore, and it's obvious that the writers of the Cobra Kai series love it too. That, and we finally get to the truth that Johnny Lawrence is the real hero, and LaRusso cheated with that illegal kick.
Straight up cheated.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Dude is a cheater. And soaked up all the glory that he didn't deserve.
So I have a question, Larry. What's your relationship with the Karate Kid movies?
Oh man. So my aunt and uncle used to record bootleg movies off of HBO and send them with my dad to our little farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere that only got two channels, and so we had. On VHS, Karate Kid, Karate Kid 2, and Monster Squad were all in the same VHS.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so I was 7? How old was I? I was little when I got to see the first Karate Kid, and I was a little skinny dork, and, you know, at that time, I obviously you relate to Daniel because he's the hero. He's a little skinny dork, and he's the hero of the story. And I told my dad when we were watching, I was like, "I want to learn karate," and he's like, "No one I know can teach you karate, but I can teach you to box because my grandpa was a Golden Gloves boxer. So my old man and my grandpa taught me how to box." And I was like, close enough, good enough. I can no kicking. That's cool. I can. That's fine.
Perfect. Now you don't have to worry about mobility.
Exactly. Just move your head a lot. Move your head. Keep your hands up. That's what you got to do. But yeah, I remember like just I was mesmerized by these movies and Pat Morita and how cool he was. You know, the idea that if you were well-trained and disciplined, you could, you know, beat bigger, stronger opponents because you were the best around and no one was going to ever keep you down.
Damn straight.
That's right. What about you?
I couldn't remotely tell you when I first saw it. I'm sure we had all the Karate Kids on recorded VHS as well. My dad had a stock of them. They each had like 5 or 6 movies on each of them. It was nuts. And I don't know. It's one of those movies, you know, I think there's probably a list of 20 or 30 movies that I just like, I don't remember the first time. They've just been like always a part of my life. And Karate Kid definitely fits into that mold. Probably we mention it all the time on Flashbacks. TBS, TNT, man, they used to run the goods all the time. But always, and I very vividly remember the third one a lot too, which I mean, I remember watching it a lot. I don't remember the plot points as much now because it's been a minute since I've watched it. But I remember all three of them.
If you need a refresher, John Kreese comes back, is hooked up with one of his old Vietnam buddies, who's a rich guy. Daniel and Mr. Miyagi get in a fight, more like father and son than anything else. He goes to Cobra Kai, and he starts to become an asshole. And then goes back to Mr. Miyagi and apologizes, and then they go and have a dojo fight, and then it's his last chance to compete in the All Valley, and all that lives upstairs, and I can't remember my sister's birthdays.
Wow, that's okay.
But I can tell you the plot of Karate Kid 3. That's what I can do.
It's called priorities, Larry. Right? It sounds like you got them.
Yeah, yeah, they're not good, but they're there.
You know what else I like is I feel like this movie played a huge role in like the 80s and 90s. Like if there was fighting in a movie, it was karate. Whether it was karate or not, like it changed the tide a little bit. You know, Bruce Lee brought martial arts to movies, but like I feel like Karate Kid is where like I called all martial arts karate when I was a kid, and I wanted to learn karate so bad. I feel like really 80s and 90s, karate was king, and then Matrix came out, and it was kung fu.
Yeah.
Which is funny because in real life, one of those will get your ass kicked, and one of them you can actually kick ass with. And it's karate that you can kick ass with. You're going to get stomped down with kung fu. So I think it's very funny that it changed. And we've learned that because with MMA, I think the world has a lot wider knowledge of different martial arts. But
yeah,
to me, it was all karate.
Oh, well, yeah. And I mean, even to our parents and grandparents, it didn't matter what discipline it was. Everything, unless it was boxing. Boxing was its own thing, but everything else, if there were feet involved, it was karate. It could have been Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Brazilian karate.
Yeah, that's just, Brazilian karate. That's when you have the little paddles that are red and green, and you tell it, I want more kicks, no more kicks. The red is up, no more kicking.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're also completely smooth in Brazilian karate.
Yeah, there's definitely no hair pulling.
Since I'm representing Cobra Kai, I do want to. There you go. That's.
Which is it's unfortunate because I feel much more. Our intro, I say Miyagi-Do because somebody had to take the hit. But I'm definitely more of a Cobra Kai guy. Like,
yeah,
no doubt about it. Honest to God, Johnny Lawrence's like technique to motivating people, like I'm like. I would be one of those guys that gets awesome from his style of motivation. Like, you can't do this. Bullshit, I can't. Like, that's me. I'm the guy tell me I can't and I can't. And that motivation works for me.
Uh-huh. That's
So that's why when I see Janelle, I'm like, he's a pretty good sensei, man.
Yeah.
I mean, questionable, but he's pretty good.
I don't know. Man, he took a bunch of useless dorks, in his words. And turned them into badasses. You know, he found motivation. I was watching this with my youngest, and as he's watching Johnny, he's just like, Mike, he might as well be a Smith. He reminds me of Grandpa. And I was like, this is exactly how your grandpa motivated me growing up.
Is that Grandpa?
William Zabka's really my grandpa? No, buddy, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. So, season one, right? And well, let's get into breaking that down, where did you first hear about Cobra Kai?
When it first came out YouTube Red, right?
Yeah, that's the one with adult movies, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and that's my favorite one. Oh, man, see, you picked a great co-host because I know all about this, but you picked the wrong one as well because I just wanted to go down a bunny trail for a second, and I'm pulling myself, I'm giving myself Miyagi-Do discipline is what I'm doing. But I had seen it was coming out, but at the time I was such a skinflint that I'm like, I'm not paying to watch. That I want to see this.
Pay money?
Pay money to watch this? No, thank you. And so when it came, when that didn't do so great, when they released it on YouTube, just regular YouTube, I was like, oh, I'm in. And so I started watching it. Like, I would watch it, because back in the before times, Jay, I'm not sure if you remember all the way back in the before times, but guys like me used to get in cars, and we would travel great distances to tell funnies to other people for pay.
Mm. These times sound familiar.
And afterwards, you would go to a place called a hotel. And it's like an apartment, but you can't cook in it. Unless you're staying in one of those kinds of hotels that would have a kitchenette. But I would go, and I mean, nothing else to do after the show. So I would sit in the hotel room and watch episodes of Cobra Kai on my phone. And so I was really excited when it was getting released on Netflix. Obviously the best streaming service, as we both
know. King Daddy!
And I kept telling my wife, I'm like, you gotta watch this show. You're gonna love it. And she's like, I don't know, I was never really into it. I was like, you're gonna love this show. Trust me when I tell you, you're going to love this show. And then the first episode, she looked at me, she goes, that could be you. Johnny Lawrence is you if you made one more bad decision. And I was like, thank you? I think that's a thank. I'm not sure. Okay.
Yeah, pretty good compliment.
I'll take it. He's badass.
He is. Yeah, I guess I didn't realize it was ever free on YouTube, but I was the same. I'm like, I'm not paying for one more streaming service for one show, but I did really want to see it because I really love Karate Kid, and but I just like, I'll get to it eventually. It's 100%. I'll get to it because I was hearing good things, but it's like YouTube starting. I don't know what all happened with that, but then. I think the week it went on Netflix, I watched it in like a day, the first two seasons, like just, it doesn't take long at all, which is kind of why this show is so bingeable. The shortness of it, which is nice too, because it stops them from getting convoluted, which they could.
Yeah.
A show that's not only paying homage to Karate Kid, but also kind of pushing this narrative of balance. I think it's really interesting they push that narrative when the show is so perfectly goddamn balanced between like homage but new. You know, it recognizes the silliness of the storyline.
Yes. And it celebrates it.
Yeah, it leans into it in a good way, in a fun way, and it could go bad so easily, easily. So,
well, like
the show's perfectly balanced.
It is, and Daniel's wife, which I wish I could remember the character's actual name. I feel bad. I could look it up, but I'm
Mrs. LaRusso.
Mrs. LaRusso, yes, but she is such an anchor for the show, not just Daniel as the character, but the show in general, because she is always pointing out how ridiculous all of this is. And like, you see stuff through her eyes where you're like, they are so stupid. These guys are so, but they're guys. They're dudes that had a rivalry and it just keeps up, but never had the opportunity or took the opportunity to reconcile. Because, you know, being a guy, what do we do when we get mad at our friends and we get in a fight with our friends? We punch each other and then we look at each other and go, what were we fighting about? I don't even remember what I was mad about. Come on, man. Sorry. Let's go over here and do this. I've literally been in fights with strangers. And in the parking lot, you know, both of us are tired and sweating, and we look at each other and go, what was this even about? Let's just go get a beer instead. And that's the least realistic part of the show for me. Because you would think after punching each other a few times, they'd have been like, all right, why are we still mad? This is ridiculous. Let's go get a beer. But it's, yeah, the fact that the whole theme of the entire series is the yin and the yang. And I'm kind of getting ahead of us, and I don't want to get too far ahead. But you see that it's very well illustrated by the writers.
Well, let's look at what season one, because this episode is season one, just our kind of quick discussion take on it. Season one, you know, opens up with Johnny Lawrence in a bad way. You know, he's like hanging a TV for some lady. You know, not a great job, a kind of a crappy handyman job. And, you know, he forms this relationship with his neighbor, Miguel. From there, he starts to train him on, you know, karate, opens up Cobra Kai. And then, what, he gets Miguel to get more of the people from the school to join his dojo. And, you know, part of the fun is he has not evolved from the 80s. His character is literally still stuck there.
Arrested Development. He stopped at 18 when Daniel kicked his ass.
He doesn't understand technology.
He still has a flip phone.
He doesn't know you can't go around calling people a pussy. He doesn't like no things, you know, all things that are taboo now. Except the way the show handles it, though, it's very very. I don't know, endearing. It's an endearing part of his character.
Yes.
That he's stuck there, but he has this willingness to learn and willingness to evolve and change. Well, and he has he's open for it, right? He's stuck, so he needs the growth.
Well, talking about hanging the TV, that's one of my favorite scenes to be introed to him, because he did exactly as the lady asked him to, but she didn't point out which wall and which door. And he says, why do you have to be such a bitch? And then gets fired. And then you see him on the phone drinking a beer next to his Trans Am, which is still the sweetest car ever made.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, no, I didn't call her a bitch. I asked why she was being such a bitch. There's a difference. And I was like, that's the perfect intro to his character. I mean, it just tells you everything you need to know about Johnny Lawrence. He's like, no, there's a difference. That and that first fight scene. Oh, that first fight scene. Where the bullies are attacking Miguel, the nerdy neighbor, because of course there has to be a nerdy neighbor. And Johnny comes out with his slice of pizza and his Coors Banquet tall boy. And he yells at them, and then he gets in a fight, and they make him drop his pizza. And then at the end of the fight, after he picks the pizza off the ground and brushes it off like he's just like, yeah, I'm going to eat it anyway. It's so good. You're like, this is just the best introduction, because this guy has no money. He's barely scraping by. He's not going to let a little dirt and you know, receipt of grass keep him from having his slice of pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, and he drinks Banquet. You mentioned he drinks Banquet because
light beers for pussies.
Light beers for pussies. Yeah, you can't have that light beer stuff. Yeah. Which is I like that the continuity of even his drinking habits. But I think what's really interesting too, this whole premise of this show is like a side story from the show How I Met Your Mother. So I'd love to meet the creators and find out if that played any role. I don't know if you've read anything or
I haven't. I haven't seen it. We actually We've discussed that, and we haven't seen anything if that's the case. But, I mean, it had to have influenced.
I mean, William Zabka was on How I Met Your Mother as himself.
Yeah, on it was...
because he was Barney Stinson's hero.
Yeah. Yeah, and Barney's whole thing was it was an illegal kick. And Johnny is the real hero of this movie.
And the thing is, I hope it was because of that show. It's just like, what a ridiculous premise to make such a great TV show off of.
Oh, you know? For sure.
This other, you know, when the show was good, How I Met Your Mother, you know, and in the thick of it was pretty solid when that storyline was on there. So I think that's pretty amazing. And two, that they got like all the original cast that they could. Obviously, Pat Morita had passed away before this, but man, they're bringing back so many people from the original movies, and it's really great too to have, I think, William Zabka in the lead-ish role eventually as Johnny Lawrence. Just you didn't see him as much. I just watched a Goldberg's episode where they called being a bully pulling a Zabka.
Yeah.
You know, he was really good at it, right? Being the 80s high school bully. He just had the look, you know, very handsome, that really wispy light blonde hair, and just the right level of mean in his voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think that probably hurt his career, actually, is that he couldn't break out of being the bully.
And I was thinking that. I'm like, that's so unfortunate. Because, honest to God, for a show that is, I want to call the show goofy, but I mean that's so complimentary.
Yeah.
He, of all the characters, he shows the most depth of emotion on this show.
For sure.
Like, without a doubt. And he's pulling it. Like, for a show that's goofy, there's also a pretty tremendous emotional heft going along with a lot of characters, but his especially. This is his, I think this a lot, in a lot of ways, is his evolution. We'll see when we get into some of the later chapters of it, but it's, I think he could have played some pretty strong roles is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Seeing him in this.
Yeah. He, there's not a scene that I've watched where I've been like, that he was reaching a little, he was shooting for the moon and missed a little bit. He's nailed every scene, whether it be him, you know, brokenhearted because of his, something to do with Miguel, or he's torn because of his stepfather or what have you, or remembering some painful incident from his childhood. Everything he's nailed everything. I look forward to seeing him in the next Expendables movie.
Oh, sorry, I muted myself. He's a little young. He's a little young for that crew.
Right. Well, I'm just saying. You know, they gotta have a young guy.
He's only 50, you know, so
It's true. He's not hitting the early bird specials quite yet.
Yeah, and he has a lot, right? You mentioned his rich, right? We see him in Karate Kid. He's a rich kid on the block. Find out it's because of his stepfather, who's pretty emotionally abusive. In a lot of ways, really, really screwed him up. We find out he's a pretty poor father himself. With, you know, he doesn't really have any real relationship with his kid at all, and which then gets into, he forms this really father-son relationship with Miguel, which plays into some of the, it gets into teen drama, right?
It does.
because it's Karate Kid. It's about, there's all the kids, all their kids are, where we get that high school drama element. So it really pays homage to that part of the first movie.
But talking about balance, it balances both really well. It is conscious of what it is, the show, is conscious of what it is without being self-referential.
Yeah.
It is goofy, like you said, goofy in all the best ways without being silly and without being campy.
Yeah.
You know, it just accomplishes. I was concerned before watching it, because I'm like, this could be so bad. This could be so bad. But like I said in the intro, it's obvious that the writers love the canon. They love the lore. Because they're like, no, we're going to take care of this, and we're going to grow this. And it's, you know, and obviously the end of the first season has to lead you to the All Valley. It has to. You got to get to the All Valley. You know, you've got to see the old rivals, Daniel and Johnny still going at it instead, but in different roles now. And it's a real good job with balancing that teen drama with the romance aspects, and but also actually handling some actual adult issues as well.
Yeah. And with that All Valley too, there's that other twist of the knife, is that Daniel Lawrence is training Johnny's son, right? He is the one who is learning Miyagi-Do in season one, but even though for a good chunk of it, Daniel doesn't even know that it's his son. So there is some sneaky and conniving there, but that plays into that building that drama and the flip-flop of where Daniel is being the Mr. Miyagi to, you know, a boy that has an absent father. And then Johnny Lawrence is being the Cobra Kai version of Mr. Miyagi, because he's not being John Kreese, I don't think. He's Cobra Kai Miyagi.
Yeah.
And for Miguel, and then to have them do the fight at, you know, for the championship was pretty great.
Yeah. And, you know, we see that Cobra Kai philosophy of strike first, strike hard, no mercy, really in the last fight where Miguel and Johnny's son gets his shoulder hurt, which, again, being goofy and being fun and being conscious of what it is, that scene where I didn't remember the character's name. I'll be honest, he's my least favorite character. Johnny's son. Robbie is in the locker room holding his shoulder, and Daniel comes in and does the hands and goes, and then yells for a medic. And I was like, oh, perfect. Because I was like, he doesn't know the Miyagi hands. He doesn't know how to do Miyagi hands. Don't tell me. And I was like, okay, you saved it. I'm very pleased with that.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
But it was perfect.
No, it was. It was great. Well, and what's great too with that Cobra Kai philosophy, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. You know, Johnny as the sensei for Cobra Kai, he's really empowering these nerdy kids.
Yeah.
You know? And he's doing it, quite frankly, he's doing it in a very, what I call, military fashion. Break them down, tear them down to nothing, build them back up. And he's really changing these kids' lives for the positive.
Well, like, look at Hawk, or Eli. Yeah. He starts as Eli. Poor kid has the cleft palate. It's been repaired. His hair's all mousy. He's wearing sweaters. He won't look anybody in the eye. He barely talks. And he comes in to the dojo, and he starts calling him Lip. And he's like, you know, and Dimitri, the smart-ass friend, is like, hey, you shouldn't talk to him that way. And he's like, well, don't be such a dork. Don't be so weird. If you don't like it, flip the script. And then, of course, Dimitri leaves, as we know, because Johnny's like, hit me. And he's like, no, go ahead, hit me. And then flips him, and he runs out of the dojo because he's not okay with this. But then Eli the next day comes in with his head shaved except for the cool mohawk down with all the wild, like, I think it was red and black, and a hawk tattoo across his back. And Johnny's like, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm saying. Flip the script. You don't like it? Flip the script. But we did talk about his stepdad, played by, we have to mention, is played by Ed Asner, who looks great for 250 years old.
Yeah, but yeah, he doesn't look a day over 200.
He doesn't.
I didn't recognize him at first. I mean, he's an older fella, but he's also, God, his voice is like, grumble. He talks like that the whole time.
He sounds like the Thing. And he's got fists like the Thing, too. I mean, you look at his hands, and they're just these, they look like Yorkshire hams. That's each hand, Yorkshire hams with kielbasas just pinned to each hand. Those are his fingers. They're so thick. And he said, especially that scene where you see him sitting there eating, and he's just like, I knew you'd be back. Did you fail again? You're like, oh my God, I wouldn't want to face that. He reminds me of my grandpa, actually, the boxer.
Yeah, what an interesting cameo, too, to get. I don't know, it just it seems random to have, because it started on YouTube, you know, it was, who knows where this could have ended up. Could have been bottom of the barrel, and to be able to pull, you know, I mean, he's not like selling out the theater right now, but he's still a name that people know.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, he Up, right? He was the voice in Up.
Yeah.
So I guess he is a multi $100 million movie lead.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure that he wasn't doing anything that week, and they were like, hey, Ed, you want to make $50 and a sandwich? And he's like, hey, I got all the money I need.
What do I got to do?
I gotta yell.
Talk like that. Was he eating sardines? I feel like he should have been eating sardines.
I think he was eating sardine cans. Just whole. Just shoving them in his maw. Just crunching down.
How about the fight choreography?
I feel like it's really obviously much better than even the first two movies. Third movie had some pretty good fight choreography, but you had some actual martial artists in that one. But I feel like, you know, I feel like the fight choreography is really good. I know the guys and women, really took it seriously. You know, a couple of them were dancers, a couple of them were skateboarders, and so they already had athletic backgrounds, and so they could just kind of transition into that. I'll be honest, watching William Zabka fight, I was like, good for him. Dude's still got moves. He can still, that first fight with the teenagers when he's protecting Miguel and trying to not drop his pizza, that the first time he does a roundhouse kick to the kid's face, and then he's like, ah, because he pulls his groin muscle because he hadn't done it for so long. I was like, see, and I'm so lucky to be married to the person I'm married to, because she's the same as me. She'll pause stuff and be like, what a cool moment. And that was the first time I paused it. And I was like, did you catch that? She's like, no. And I backed up and I played it again. She's like, of course he would pull a muscle. He's a heavy drinker who isn't working out and probably hasn't done that kick in years. She's like, of course he's going to pull a groin muscle. But let's be honest, everyone's fight choreography is great, except for Ralph Macchio. He fights the way old people screw. It's just...
Do we find that on YouTube, Red?
Ralph Macchio? Hell, nope. See... At best, I gotta keep it PG-13 at the least. See, I told you, you chose the right and wrong host, because I'm now fighting myself.
Want to go down joke wormhole?
Want to say that cannot? Don't want to get fired from the network.
Yeah, he moves a little. Yeah, I don't know. He is not a young man.
No, and he looks amazing defense. Though. Let's give it to him. He looks great.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think he's like 5 or 6 years older than William Zabka.
Yeah.
He was 22 when he was in the original Karate Kid.
Yeah.
What? My 8-year-old daughter was like, "What? He looks like a few years older than me. How is he 22?"
Yeah, he was born, Ralph Macchio was born in 61, and Zabka was born in 65.
Yeah.
And yeah, I did just pull that knowledge out of the top of my head, listeners. You can't prove otherwise.
Well, fight me. I can't see a computer in front of you.
That's right. Yeah. You just saw me look away for a second. Oh, the knowledge came to me. I thought especially with the younger actors and the All Valley scene, those fight scenes were really well. And the first time Miguel really fights when he takes out his bullies, and the guys that have been bullying Dimitri and Eli, in the cafeteria when he, especially when he knocks the kid out with a cafeteria tray. I was like, that's who hasn't wanted to just lay someone out with a food tray recently? Yeah,
I think that. Where were you with the food tray recently?
I love MCL.
You wanted to knock out a senior citizen?
She took the last tapioca pudding. I was in the mood for little fish eggs in my vanilla pudding. And this old broad, one, she was holding up the line, and then she took all the dark meat chicken, and then she took the tapioca pudding. I was stuck with green jello. I wanted to bust her hip, but I'm not since the last incident. I don't want to be banned from MCL for another 6 months.
I hope the last time was because you were fighting with old people too.
Ed Asner was there.
So you actually got your ass kicked.
Oh man, he bent me in half like a pretzel. But I yelled "Daddy" when he did it. I don't know why. I didn't hate it.
Habits are hard to break.
It's true. Thank you, Daddy.
What were we talking about?
Oh, yeah, kids, Cobra Kai.
Kids fighting. I think it's some of the best choreography on TV. I will say the first season, it was good. It was just much more subdued and limited than season two. And I haven't finished season three, but where I'm at in season three, man, season two, they kick it up a whole nother notch. But
yeah,
it's great in the first season because the first season, honestly, is it's about the karate, but it's the introduction in a lot of ways to these characters, at least from where the show has gone. Man, it's just the beginning. It's just the intro. And the fights are great. And I agree that obviously, you know, William Zabka and Ralph Macchio, they're not spring chickens, and they still look pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And even though Johnny Lawrence is a heavy drinker that doesn't work out, he's definitely got that handyman build.
Yes, you know? He does. Yep. He's got the handyman build. That was the other part that Nicole told me I had to mention was the second least believable part of that show is that Johnny Lawrence eats nothing but gas station food and drinks banquet beer and has no gut. She's like, how? That's not possible. I was like, well, honey, he's Johnny Lawrence. The fat is afraid to stick to him.
It's I don't know. I mean, if he's doing enough of that outdoor work, moving heavy crap, and I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that'll That'll do it.
You know? I don't know how much he was working. We just saw a small glimpse before he gets fired.
Yeah.
But then he opens the dojo. It looks like he's doing a lot of classes. You know what I always think is my favorite goofy part of the show is the intensity of Cobra Kai. I feel like parents would be pulling kids out of there left and right.
Well, but if you notice, he doesn't let parents stick around.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, just kids. Just get out of here.
Well, they kind of make note in the positive impact he's having on their kids.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think back what scene it was, but they stick up for him and talk about how he's having such a positive impact. Oh, it was when he was trying to get Cobra Kai into the All Valley tournament. You know, it was the positive impact that he was having.
Well, and he really was. He was taking, like we mentioned before, he was taking these outcast kids and giving them, one, he was giving them discipline, two, self-confidence, three, a level of activity that they'd never experienced before. I mean, for God's sakes, he cured Miguel's asthma. He's like a Jesus figure.
Just wait till later episodes, folks, because if carrying asthma is a big deal, wait till you see what he does.
The guy is, as we're watching season three, and that, I know we're not there yet, but we're watching season three, and that part that we're talking about, again, the youngest kid looked at me and goes, are you sure he's not based on one of our family members? I was like, I'm not at this point. I know how your grandpa cured me of my stutter. So,
he is motivating, man. Just watching him, you know, when he's not in the dumps, he's a bit bipolar, because he's dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
It's equal measure him motivating them and building their confidence as much as it is them building his, which I think is a really fun dynamic that they put on the show. And, you know, that's not an aspect of teacher student that you get a lot in entertainment media. And I think it's cool that they're showing that.
I think so. Yeah. Cause I know I'm stuttering, Alex. I want to word this correctly. There is a place for that. There is a place for, I guess, the it's become cliche now, but truly the best term is tough love.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and that's what he's showing these kids, is, you know, look, if you want to be a part of this, they show dedication to him. Cool. Now I'm dedicated to you, but, you know, his favorite word is pussies. He's like, I'm not training pussies. I'm going to train fighters. And if you're not willing to be a fighter, then get out of my dojo. And, you know, it's interesting to see the evolution, but it's also interesting to see, as we see at the end of the season, how that can go too far. Because it was the no mercy part, he realizes, was not correct. He's like, okay, no, a real warrior knows when to show mercy. You can still strike first, you can still strike hard, but you need to know when we show mercy. And that was a big point in his character development, when he was like, we all have to learn this lesson the hard way, which, as we see, kind of makes a split a little bit in, but even before the end of the season, you see that split in the students of, wait, hold on, you've been teaching us to be badasses, and, you know, now you're telling us to be weak. And he's like, no, you can still be a badass still shows mercy. It's a really it's a great turn on the character and the philosophy of Cobra Kai.
Yeah, especially, you know, sweep the leg, Johnny, and all that. You know, it the whole end of that movie is how they lose. And it's not that they were in a fighting tournament, but it was the mercy to fight fair, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the flip script here, is that Robbie is injured, as you said, the shoulder injury, and he continues and fights Miguel, and they keep going after his shoulder, try to injure him. You know, they're not just trying to win, they're trying to injure him to win. And
yeah,
they think it's because Robbie's his son, but it's part of it. That's part of it. But he's also just seeing, flashing back to, you know, kind of the turning point where his life went full negative.
Yeah.
You know, and didn't get positive. So that was, yeah, I thought the season wrapped up, you know, ending with the tournament was great. What I have to say is I think they did a really good job of, like, you're like, man, where were these massive karate tournaments in the 80s? What is this? Like, I was convinced as a kid that there were these, like, massive stadium karate tournaments that I don't think those exist. I don't think that's a thing. But they do this really cool thing where they're like, you know, what football is to Texas, karate is to the All Valley and Reseda. You know, I think they do a really fun job of building it up. And, it, you know, you can pull that off, too. In California, you know, there's much higher Japanese population than the rest of the country. So you can see it becoming part of the culture more.
Look at the Tom Petty song, Free Fallin'. It's a long day living in Reseda. That was based on all those long day karate tournaments, that line.
yeah.
Free falling is when you get flipped and they pause you in air, so it kind of pops your back a little bit more. That's what that song's about. People don't understand that. They really.
No, I. that was not on my radar.
I look up the trivia. It's going to be on the Wikipedia in about 45 minutes. Don't worry about it. Don't check it.
It's going to be true.
don't worry about it, but don't check Wikipedia yet.
10 minutes, folks. Hang on tight. We'll make this true one way or another.
Tom Petty's not around to argue.
Yeah, what's he going to say about it? Oh, I like Tom Petty.
I do, too. Almost went on a bunny trail. Tom Petty's one of my favorites, and I got to see him in concert twice, and could not be more grateful for that. So there, I'll just boop, done.
That's awesome. Hey, what's your final thoughts on season one?
I think they did a great job of, one, showing us that Johnny is not so much a bully as a tragic character. Giving him a really incredible hero's story arc and redemption story. I think they did a great job with making it, because we all wanted Daniel to be a douchebag. Turns out, he's not really a douchebag, but he comes off that way sometimes.
Which he did in the movie, too.
Yes. Oh, for sure. For sure he did. But they did a good job with teasing that and then being like, but he's not really. And developing every character as a fully realized human and not just a caricature of what they could have been. Like what the movies did. They made caricatures. Daniel's wife is also another, which could have been easy to just be like, and that's Daniel's wife. But she is also another fully realized, intelligent, strong character that doesn't care about the martial arts. She cares about her family. But she's another, again, it could have just had her as a throwaway character, but they didn't. It was just a really well-crafted, loving, respectful tribute to the characters and the lore of Karate Kid. And they also, let's give them credit, the first Karate Kid movie, awfully white for Reseda, California. They did a little bit better with representation in season one, with actually potentially representing the population of Reseda, California a little bit closer than that first movie.
If I learned anything from Karate Kids, white dudes love karate.
I think we all know that.
I love karate. I'm a white dude, so.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's this light. It's this light that makes me look so tan. I look a little Greek, but I can look, you know, really white now.
Okay, yeah.
A little blue. Yeah. You know, feel a little smurfy, or I just go for the Greek tan.
Yeah. You know, with my life. I'm just pink. I'm just Scandinavian and Irish. It's just, no matter what light you put on me, I'm just always pink.
Yeah, I think the thing you said about Daniel, I think, is really great, because they did. And I initially thought that was the storyline. Johnny's the good guy, tragic figure. Daniel's terrible, not good at all. And you're right. I love how they teased that, and then they pulled it back and like, nah, we're just kidding. He's a pretty good dude.
Yeah.
Pretty good dude. He's like a real person. Sometimes he's a douche. Sometimes we're all douches, you know. It happens. And really the show is about these two guys who probably have way more in common than they recognize. And they do recognize that at parts through the series. But they don't know how to communicate. I don't know if you're aware of this. Guys are pretty good at communicating in general.
Oh yeah, we're great.
That's been my experience. You know, we rely on a series of head nods and grunts, and some reason we don't understand what people mean. So,
but we're really good at solving code. So, ladies, if you're single or just dating, make sure you only speak in code, because we're really good at deciphering it.
Yeah. You tell me you're okay, I'll figure out what's wrong.
Oh, you're okay? Okay. And
I'm okay too. So perfect. We're cool. Okay together.
We're all okay? Cool. I'm going to go down to the basement and do something. I don't know.
You got kitchen cleanup? Okay. Okay, perfect.
What I'm saying is we're dumb. Guys, not bright.
Yeah. Well, should we wrap this episode up?
I think so. Did we actually accomplish anything?
We talked about the first season.
We sure did. I think we did. I think we did a good job.
We talked about the tournament. That's where it ended. Talked about the beginning and some of the middle.
We discussed Ed Asner's eating habits and meaty paws. And that one time I got in a fight, I'm not really supposed to talk about it yet, but because the court hearing hasn't happened, but that time that Ed Asner and I fought over the last green Jell-O at MCL.
I thought you wanted the tapioca, or that time you wanted the green Jell-O.
I wanted the green Jell-O that time. It was with that old lady that took all my tapioca. I spent too much time at MCL. It's just...
The deals, bro. The deals. Have you had their food? It's so cheap.
It is. It's so great. If you go early enough, it's even cheaper.
And the atmosphere smells like mothballs. It's a dream.
When I was 18, I had a fake ID to get into bars. Now I've got a fake ID so I can get that early bird special discount.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's crash this plane.
All right. You got anything coming up?
Till everyone gets their shots, then we're not doing a whole lot of live shows, but I do have two podcasts other than this one, because I'm trying to fill the void, Jay. Convince Me with Larry Smith, right here on the Front Row Network in NPR, Illinois. And also the Zig and Larry Ignore a Topic, which... my co-host was a co-host of Convince Me with Larry Smith. You notice how I do that?
Perfect.
What about you, buddy?
Well, first of all, I'm glad I could be here to fill your void. And phrasing.
Deep breaths.
But flashbacks, front row flashbacks. We are going to start doing two movies a month, and we're starting with Fargo, which I'm super excited for. And then the second one for the month of January is Trainspotting. Both turned 25 this year. So
beautiful.
Yes, we're going to talk about the...
What'd you say?
Talk about the fun murder.
25?
25.
Trainspotting's 25?
Yep.
Why do you say things to make me sad?
Why are you covering up your chin hairs right now?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like a natural instinct to cover up those gray hairs.
I earned every one of these sons of bitches. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, mine are up here. It's hard to tell in this light. I get them on the side. I was very lucky. I'm getting rich guy gray hair.
You're getting the Reed Richards.
Yeah, if only I could get the bank account to match my gray hair, I'd be sick.
Yeah. Well, I have a bank account that matches this hobo beard. I told somebody the last time I was on stage, I said that my credit score was just a sad trombone noise. Exactly. All right. So what? It sounds like Flashbacks is... I did it! Oh, no! Flashbacks is going to have some really good episodes.
Oh, this year is going to kill it.
Well, I know Convince Me we're going to have... I'm going to start recording again because I record... I do a bunch of them all at once because I'm lazy. And so I'm gonna be getting some pretty I'm just doing the Larry David now. Some pretty good guests.
Do it. I love Curb. So
yeah. But now we're gonna try to get some real deals on there. Besides just some of my favorite people, which is why mix the real deals in, like we had this first go round with John Means and Jeremy Nunes and Dan Bublitz and Kevin Kautzman, some of my buddies that people probably aren't as familiar with that I've had on there. We've had some of those. We're going to have some of those coming up. People that I want folks to be familiar with because they're funny and nice. Those are my two criteria. Are you funny? Are you nice? Then you're on. So,
all right. Sounds great.
Well, thanks for joining us.
We'll see you in the next episode on Flashback Presents
Cobra Kai.
This episode is a production of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois. For more information and to see the full slate of Front Row Network shows, you can visit frnpod.com or nprillinois.org. You can also find and follow us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram and Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter.